Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Before I forget, I'd just like to let everybody know there is a free King James Bible up here for anybody who would like to have one. If you may have one, you may want one for another location, or if you even want to give one to somebody, please take it and give it to them. It's free. It's going to be there until it's time to go. Let's open in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for his great sacrifice on that cross that has provided salvation for us all. Thank you, Father, for enabling us to study thy word now. Thank you, Father. We pray for your guidance and your blessing upon this meeting. May you lead us all on by thy Holy Spirit. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, since the last time I've been up here, four people that I've known have passed away. So now they're in eternity now, and no more prayers. I or anybody else can pray for their salvation. We won't help them now because their eternal destination has been settled already. Because God says, as it is appointed unto men, once to die, and after this comes the judgment. So it's a little devastating to me, actually, to take four people off my salvation prayer list. It startles me a little bit to have to go through that, but let's open up with an opening verse. Will be Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Sure, we're all familiar with the verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. We're going to go to chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to read verse 12 and so on. Verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" This Lucifer fallen from heaven. We all know now Lucifer is referred to as Satan or the devil. So Satan was kicked out of heaven at one time. One of God's most mightiest and beautiful angels was kicked out of heaven. And it even says a third of the angels were cast out with him. How could this be, we may say? How could this be that God would cast out one of his most powerful and beautiful angels out of heaven, never to return there? Well, let's look at verse 13. "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Still Lucifer saying, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Because of Satan's pride and his rebellion against God, he was kicked out of heaven. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, we're going to go to chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Jesus says in verse 18, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Jesus is saying he saw Satan fall from heaven. Doesn't mean he saw him fall at this precise moment. It means he saw him fall from heaven. when he was cast out of heaven, Jesus saw it happen. Now, if we turn to the book of Job in the Old Testament, let's all turn to the book of Job. We're going to go to the very first chapter in Job. First chapter of the book of Job. We're going to read verse 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. So we have established, thus far, how sin entered into the universe through Satan. And we see that he landed on this earth. Now let's turn to the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now we're going to continue on in verse 15 through 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for on that day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Okay. Everything seems to be going pretty good for Adam. He's got a full-time job. He's got all of his needs provided for him. We even read here in the next five, six verses that God provides him a wife. God gives him a wife, Eden, in the Garden of Eden. Eve, I should say. Her name is Eve. All right, so everything's going well for Adam and Eve thus far. They got everything they need. God has provided for them everything. Just gave them the one commandment. Don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, if we move on to chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made. We understand here that the serpent is Satan. Satan disguised as a serpent. And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of every tree, of every fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Yea, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. We see how Satan put doubt into the woman's eyes and saw that the tree would benefit her in some way. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Right here, when Adam ate this fruit, sin entered into the human race. Before this point, man was not a sinner. Now we turn to Romans chapter 5. New Testament, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to read verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now, since we're all part of Adam's bloodline, we are all born into sin because we're all sinners born into the same bloodline. We're all part of Adam's race. And since we're all sinners, we're all subject to death. Now, this is just not just a physical death, but this is also a spiritual death. Separation from God. See, God has to punish sin. He has to judge sin. Because God is holy. Has to judge sin. So we're going to stay in Romans chapter 5, and we're going to move on to verse 17. Verse 17 throughout the chapter. "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered in that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Through God judging his Son, that we all may obtain eternal salvation from our sins. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to read verse 6 and 7. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all." The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. This Lord is God the Father. God the Father laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. All of our sins were to be laid on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All of our judgment was to fall on Christ. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." As a lamb brought to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. We're going to read verse 59. Matthew 26, verse 59. "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." There were many false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. Many accusations against him to put him to death. Well, we don't, let's take note. He did not respond to any false accusations. If you're on death row and somebody was accusing you falsely of something, wouldn't you stand up for yourself and defend yourself? Well, see, this was the plan, that Jesus was going to go to the cross and die for our sins on this cross. God the Father knew it. Christ knew it. Although Christ despised going to the cross, he was still obedient to go to the cross to die for our sins. So let's pick it up at verse 63. But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Now, we're going to briefly touch here on the fact that Christ was going through, actually, it's like he went through two judicial sentences here that condemned him to death. Well, first, looking at the Jewish legal system. Tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. In verse 64, Jesus says, Thou hast said, Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Verse 65. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Okay, now let's go into Matthew chapter 27, verse 1 and 2. We're going to read. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now we're going to read verse 15 through 18, same chapter. Verse 15 says, Now at the feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. Which means at the feast the governor was accustomed to releasing one of the prisoners who the people wanted. It was kind of like a voting system, who they wanted to be released. They were both condemned to death. And then they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas, verse 16. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will you that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Verse 19. No, we're gonna jump to verse 20 through 25. All right, let's read verse 20 through 25. After he knew that they delivered him for envy. Verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? Which one of the two should I release unto you? Meaning, they said, Barabbas. Verse 22, Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil have he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. So now we have all these people yelling out, Let Christ be crucified. Verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then all the people answered, and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. All right, so we just got condemned twice. Two legal systems here. Verse 35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they washed him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Sometimes you might see pictures of, resembling the crucifixion. You might see three crosses on a hill. This is why, because he was numbered with the transgressors. They crucified Jesus right in between two criminals, like he himself was a common criminal that deserved to be condemned to death. All right, two thieves. Okay. And there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. Verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Let's pause right here on verse 40. They're telling him, you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. He's being crucified right now. But Christ had no intention on coming down from the cross. His main purpose was to go to that cross. He knew he was going to bear our sins in his own body on that tree. He knew he was going to die for our sins on the cross. He had no intention on coming down. Verse 41. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. They're saying, If you be the King of Israel, come down from the cross and we will believe you. Which is contrary to what God tells us all. God tells us all to believe and then you will see. They're saying, let us see and we will believe. You ever hear this old saying, oh, when I see it, I'll believe it? Well, God's telling us, believe it and then you will see it. Verse 44. Well, we didn't even read verse 43. So we're going to read verse 43 and so on. They're saying now, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The way they're mocking him, they're guilty of blasphemy, not Christ. The thieves also, in verse 44, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Meaning the two thieves that were being crucified on either side, they're mocking him, saying the same thing. Yeah, if you be the Son of God, you be the Christ, save yourself and save us too. We know from Luke's gospel that one of those thieves actually had a repentance in heart and turned to Christ and received him as his Lord and Savior right there on that cross. He got saved that day. Okay, now we're reading verse 45 and on. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. The sixth hour is noon, right? High noon. Just about the time it is now when it's light outside. The ninth hour, which is 3 p.m., about 3 p.m. So from about 12 noon to 3 p.m., the whole land became dark. Now, this points to the time that Christ was actually bearing our sins on the cross. all of our sins, all of the judgment that we deserve, all the punishment that we deserve, God was giving to His Son on that cross. He was bearing our sin in His own body on that tree. Verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, God the Father turned His back on His own Son. The first time ever this will ever take place, ever has taken place, or ever will take place again. God the Father and God the Son had broken fellowship at this time because Christ was bearing our sins on the cross. Why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. God the Father laid on Him, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Verse 47. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Verse 50. Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now we know from the account of John's Gospel, John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus cries out from the cross, It is finished. All of our punishment, Christ endured on the cross. All the judgment that we deserve, Christ took it on that cross, that we may all have eternal life through Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished, He yells out. Verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to bottom. The veil of the temple, see, in the tabernacle, the holy place that's divided from the most holy place where they did the sacrifices for the sins. The veil is what separates the holy place from the most holy place. The veil being torn is a type of Christ's body showing us that there is a new and living way for all believers into the very presence of God. The only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. We are going to read verse 54 and on. Now when the centurion, they that were with Him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, they were all afraid at this point, and they said, truly this was the Son of God. They recognized it. Well, how they reacted to it, we don't know. Truly this was the Son of God. See, now, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The punishment for our sins was laid upon Christ. Now, Jesus' death fulfilled the law here. Now there's no more sacrifice for sins. No more sacrifice for sins. The dispensation of the law is over, according to the Scriptures. Follow up on this. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to read verse 11 throughout the chapter. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with the water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. This means without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This could be you. Let's read that last verse, 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now we see salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for our sins on the cross. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to read verse 6 through 12. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. See, God the Father had no pleasure in the animal sacrifices for sins. But in their act of obedience, it was covered up for a year. They had to continually every year make sacrifices for their sins. Verse 7. Then said I, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God," referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. As we come to an end here, let's read verse 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them who look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 20. As we just come into a close, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, we're going to read verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we see the characteristics of the lake and fire. It's a place of fire and brimstone where you're tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation chapter 20, we're going to read verse 14 and 15. Verse 14, And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Picture this for a minute. You die right now in your sins, you go to hell. And you stay there until you be judged before the Lord Jesus Christ, who could have been your Savior. He will appear as your judge. And you will get thrown into the lake of fire at this point. And the hell that you are in is going to get thrown in right behind you. So death and hell get thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now as we come to a close here, I have a question for you. Do you want to choose eternal life or do you want to choose eternal death? The gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ is open to anybody today who wants to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. He will save you. Jesus says, John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You can be saved today. Today is the day of salvation. Matter of fact, now is the accepted time. Not going to ask you to come up here or anything. Right where you sit, if you need to be saved, bring it to Jesus Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior today. He hears your heart. He knows what you're saying, what you're thinking. Take a moment right now and bring your sinful self to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Pray in your own words for the salvation that he offers. Embrace him as your Lord and Savior today, and he will save you. Don't put it off, because you could walk out this door and we don't know what's going to happen when you get out this door. It could be your last day that you have a chance to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. So if I may urge you to bring it to Jesus Christ now and receive him as your Lord and Savior for salvation. Remember the first verse we opened up with? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just as we're all subject to death, eternal life is open to everybody who wants it. We all have to make that choice. God gives us all free will. Please take the time and bring it to the Lord now. We're going to close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his great sacrifice on that cross, bearing our judgment. Father, we thank you that you have given us the opportunity now to come to Christ and receive him as our Lord and Savior. If there is anybody here that has not yet put their faith in Christ, may you help them to do so. Thank you, Father, for giving us this time to study thy word. May you part us all with thy blessing. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.